May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So, is there anyone here who wants a troublemaker as head of the church? Who wants a truth teller for a moral guide? I'm not talking about myself, by the way. Who wants a rabble rouser for a savior? This incident that we read about just now in the synagogue is an illustration of what Zach Jeffers talked about so eloquently last week when he talked about how this is not the Jesus of our imagination, of our wish dreams. This is not Jesus who is surrounded by children and bunnies hopping about and birds landing on his shoulder. This is Jesus the troublemaker. This is Jesus the rabble rouser. This is Jesus the unexpected, unconventional Messiah. This is Jesus who reminds the faithful people of God what Sabbath is really all about. Jesus isn't breaking Sabbath law, and he's not even making up a new way to interpret that law. As he reminds the leader of the synagogue, Deuteronomy, that ancient source of the law, clearly spells out the observance of Sabbath. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your male or female servant, not your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. The faithful people of God, including those gathered in the synagogue to hear Jesus that day, had for many long years understood that allowing domestic animals to rest meant untying them from their burdens and leading them to water every day, not just six out of the seven. Sabbath is and always has been a matter of justice as well as holiness. The Hebrews who fled the slavery of Egypt received this commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy as a remembrance of their own deliverance from the bondage of slavery under Pharaoh. We heard that ancient understanding of Sabbath as liberation and justice in our reading from Isaiah just now. If you remove the yoke from among you, if you offer food to the hungry, satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Refrain from trampling the Sabbath. Don't pursue your own interests on my day, says the Lord. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. You shall take delight in the Lord, not the other way around. Jesus, the troublemaker, calls us to observe a true Sabbath, a Sabbath of delight, a Sabbath of release from bondage, a Sabbath of satisfying the needs of the afflicted. In our gospel lesson, we are introduced to a woman who has been afflicted for 18 long years, bound up by the adversary to the point that she can't stand up straight. Our translation of this verse says that this poor woman had a spirit that crippled her. A more precise translation would read, a spirit of weakness. She was bound by a spirit of weakness. And when Jesus heals her, he does so by releasing her from that spirit. He says, "Woman, you have been loosed from your weakness." She has been untied, even as a beast of burden would be released and led to life-giving water. Think about it. To live bound up, bent over by weakness for all those long years, it must have felt like she was indeed carrying a heavy yoke on her shoulders every day, all day long. I wonder how many people in the synagogue even saw this woman, let alone recognized her as a daughter of Abraham, or as we would say, a child of God. How easy it is for us to not see those who are afflicted. Our eyes have been trained by our culture to see the beautiful, the successful, the strong. But God would have us train our eyes to see a different way. There's a pattern to these healing encounters with Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus sees someone. Jesus acts in response to their need. And that person is healed and changed forever. As soon as this afflicted woman appears, we're told that Jesus sees her and pronounces her release, lays hands on her, and she immediately stands up straight and begins praising God. Because really, what else would you do in that moment? To whatever extent we are bound by sin, the adversary, by our hidden participation in collective and institutional sin, or our overtly wicked actions, Jesus comes to us to loose our bonds and lead us to life-giving water so that we do not have to be borne down by that burden. When Jesus releases that woman and when he releases us, he is fulfilling again the prophecy of Isaiah that he read in another synagogue at the beginning of his public ministry. Remember that? He opened up the scroll and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free." Jesus sees us in our afflictions, whatever they may be, whether it's estrangement from a family member, addiction, physical pain, loss. You know what it is in your life that has bound you. Jesus sees and acts upon these things. He acts upon us, and we are changed. Now, here's the thing that we have to remember in all of this. We are the eyes of Jesus to see the pain and the affliction in the world around us. We are the voice of Jesus to pronounce words of justice and mercy and compassion. We are the hands of Jesus to help and to heal. Now, the first thing that we have to do is to train ourselves to see affliction in those around us, even when we don't want to. In a few weeks, we're going to hear the story of the rich man and poor Lazarus. Hold on to that because it's a good story. But the whole point of that story is that there are dire consequences for everyone when we neglect or are unable to see the afflictions of those around us. And troublemaker Jesus is reminding us today of what we've always known. It's up to us to see the afflicted and respond so that lives can be changed. If any of us here have at any point ever encountered the living, risen Lord, and I hope you have because you're here, Once you've had that encounter with Jesus, whether it's in the sacraments or whether you encounter Jesus in that person near you who saw your affliction and responded to you on Jesus' behalf, whenever that has happened, we have work to do. We have to stand upright once we are loosed from our bonds. Stand upright and look around as we are praising God and singing, "Bless the Lord, my soul." Look and see the afflicted ones. See them and respond to their need. Honor the holy day of the Lord, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, but living for the other. See the needs of others, feed the hungry, comfort the afflicted, and make that day a Sabbath of delight, so that the whole world, imagine this, the whole world might come to the point where they stand up straight and they sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless God's holy name." Now, would that be a grand and glorious day? I think it would. And it's ours to do.